Support for podcasts of Medical Monday comes from the hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley. 1-888-525-HQMP or 4767 for appointments.
Good afternoon, everybody. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for this Monday, August 15th. It's Medical Monday. I'm Alan Shartok. Underwriting support for Medical Monday comes from Maria College Albany, bachelor's and associate's degrees in health sciences, nursing, liberal arts, and management, day, evening, and weekend programs, fast track admission day, this Thursday, 9 to 6, newmariacollege.com. Joining us today is a most fascinating physician, Dr. Richard Dentico. He's board certified physiologist with Orthopedic Associates of Dutchess County. He is a specialist in regenerative medicine. In other words, his job is to bring you back where you are and better. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. That and a lot more coming up. Hello, once again. Welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Shartok. Joining us today is orthopedist, doctor, and physiatrist, Dr. Richard Dentico. He comes to us from Orthopedic Associates of Dutchess County. His specialty is regenerative medicine. It's a physical medicine and rehabilitation and sports medicine. He's one of the only doctors in the Hudson Valley to administer platelet-rich plasma or PRP injections as a form of regenerative pain management. Dr. Dentico earned his medical degree from New York Medical College. He's certified by the American Board of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation with a subspecialty in sports medicine. He's also a member of both the American Academy of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation and the Spine Interventional Society. Got a question for the man? Give us a call, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. So, Richard, if I may call you that, what is regenerative medicine?
Well, first, Alan, thanks so much for having me up and coming to talk to you today. Regenerative medicine is it's a branch of medicine that's forming not just in orthopedics or in physiatry, but across the board. And what we're seeing is that the body has an innate ability to heal itself. And we see that just from everyday cuts and scrapes and bruises and strains that we all suffer from. And we see that, you know, we are able to restore normal anatomy with really very little intervention because the body has the blueprints and the framework into how to repair itself. We're trying to tap into this ability to heal by through different research methods. But what we're doing, at least in my field of medicine, is using platelets and stem cells and actual other regenerative treatments to have the body regenerate itself back to normal structure, normal architecture, with the hope of regaining normal function in that area.
So give me an example of something you might do with a patient.
So I guess the best example I like to use is my little brother, who had a bad Achilles.
Is that your brother, the dentist?
That's my younger brother. No, he's not a dentist. That's my older brother. So in the back of the heel, there's a large tendon called the Achilles tendon, and he had bad tendonitis in that area. So after a few months of conservative treatment, which included therapy, anti-inflammatory medication, he wasn't making much progress. He was still having significant pain and dysfunction. And for a young man, it was interesting to see him this way. At this time, it was right before I sent him to where I did my fellowship. One of my fellowship directors took care of him, and he did an injection of platelets that they took from his body, isolated into a super concentrate of platelets, and injected it directly back into his tendon. And over the course of the next 4 to 5 weeks, he was rehabbing the area and went pretty much to a completely pain-free state where he has been since his injection.
So this is accepted medicine practice now, or is this something new that we ought to be looking at suspiciously?
Interesting, because right now I think we're in that transition from a relatively experimental-based medicine, which I guess it's still considered experimental medicine right now. whereas it's going to be, I would believe, the standard of care for most of these things that we're treating. And, but with anything that's new, you should always look at it with a little eye of skepticism.
And where do they get the platelets from?
The platelets come right out of your own body.
And then they have to figure out a way to concentrate them?
Right. It's just a standard centrifuge that we use. And they what it is they have these particular filters that are used in kits that are used to concentrate them down to a specific concentration. And at that time, we know that or these studies have shown at this certain concentrations, you see very potent healing response in a patient's body.
Okay. So tell me about the institute you're setting up.
Well, it's just it's within our practice to help streamline patients coming in and getting seen and evaluated for these treatments. My colleague and I, Dr. Rakala, who's also well-versed in these treatments and has performed multiple treatments himself using these techniques. We're trying to just streamline part of our practice to handle these types of patients and get them in efficient manners.
But there's a limit on what they can cure, right? In other words, you wouldn't want to send somebody with cancer with platelet injections, would
cancer
you?
Cancer is not something we're treating, no. You need to work with your oncologist and continue with that. Broken bones. We're not treating broken bones with platelet injections.
Okay, so we'll take some calls, okay? And here we go to Jim in Matamoros. Welcome back, Jim. Make it quick. Go ahead.
Non-steroidal anti-inflammatories are constantly being promoted, but how safe and effective are they for long-term use as opposed to corticosteroids and narcotics?
Okay, go ahead.
I'm assuming you're talking about in the treatment of pain, chronic pain, not in an acute setting. Anti-inflammatories are very helpful in reducing, in non-steroidals I'm talking about right now, about reducing acute inflammation, improving pain, and hopefully, again, improving function. The whole goal is to return to normal function when we're using these medications. Long-term negative effects of anti-inflammatories we've seen come out. It does put you at a little bit of an increase of risk of heart attack and stroke and using them on a regular basis. You mentioned steroid medications. Steroid or corticosteroid medications are very potent anti-inflammatory medications. However, steroid medications also mimic hormones that are in our body. So for acute settings, and they're prescribed very readily in this area, mainly for poison ivy, but also in acute inflammatory issues. If somebody has an acute herniated disc in their neck or their back, it can be very helpful in reducing their overall pain and inflammation. But long-term use, again, is frowned upon because of the negative effect it can have on your own body's production of steroids.
Thank you very much. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. All right, we'll go to line number 3, and we'll talk to Susan. Susan, you're on the air.
Hi. Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, cool. The doctor just asked my question, so I'll be fast. I think I injured, or I did injure, some of the tendons in my rotator cuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I know with broken bones, they say when they're healed, they might be stronger. When this is healed or I feel better, is that side going to be weaker or stronger?
Just to clarify, did you break a bone or did you have a rotator cuff tear?
No, I did not break a bone.
Okay.
These are tendons in my rotator cuff.
Okay. And what?
No, I only use the bones as an example of my question. They say when a broken bone is healed, it might be stronger, and I'm wondering if that's true of healed tendons.
The tendon,
or are they weaker?
Yeah, the tendon is a different structure than bone in that it just doesn't have the greatest blood supply. And as we were talking before about the platelets, blood, and blood supply is very important in healing musculoskeletal structures, specifically tendons and ligaments. They notoriously do not have a great blood supply, and that's why people develop chronic tendon problems. So after you develop a tendonitis or a partial tear, if you don't rehab it properly, or even if you do rehab it properly, you're always at a risk for developing a chronic issue in that area, and we would call that more tendinosis, meaning that there's not acute inflammation anymore, but we're seeing degenerative changes in the tendon. So after tears, the tendon can be a little bit weaker. Even though you're pain-free and you're functioning normally, we could start to see some of those degenerative changes taking place in the tendon. And these would be issues where or pathologies that the platelet or the regenerative treatments would really help to strengthen and to make it almost back to normal, so to speak.
But what about for those of us who have had that exact same thing as Susan had and gone to physical therapists and who've done magnificent things? In my case, it just went away.
Right, and that was something I would like to touch on, is that therapy, exercise, putting positive stimulus through these tendons and through these muscles, that's what can really make them strong. And you can, like Alan just said, you could rehab a rotator cuff tendon with no surgery, with no medication, and with no injections, but with physical therapy. And a certain percentage of the population responds appropriately and get back to normal function. And when you don't, as you develop these chronic issues, that more interventions are usually indicated.
Thank you, Susan. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah. That was very helpful.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Susan.
Thanks, Susan.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. The phones are filling up. Get online now or you won't make it. We'll take a short break and we'll come right back.
Support comes from Ashokan Center, building community through shared experiences in nature, history, and the arts. The Ashokan Center in the Catskill Mountains, where nature inspires, ashokancenter.org. Albany Cardiothoracic Surgeons, providing patient-centered heart surgery for over 40 years in the Capital Region, practicing cardiac surgery at St. Peter's Hospital, actsurg.com. Agricultural Stewardship Association, helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve good farmland for good forever, agstewardship.org. Chesterwood presents the Nature of Glass, an outdoor contemporary sculpture exhibition curated by Jim Shantz, featuring artists incorporating glass in their sculptural work. Chesterwood.org for details. And from Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany, Dr. Tom Denham providing individual career guidance, testing job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume, and cover letter writing. CareersInTransitionLLC.com.
Okay, and we are back with Dr. Richard Dentico right here. He is a rehabilitation expert and he regenerates you, as I should say, and it is a fascinating new field of medicine. Richard, let's take some more calls if it's okay with you.
Sure.
We'll go to Joe. Okay, Joe, you're on. Go, Joe.
Yes, how are you?
Thank you
for taking my call. I have come to find out recently that what it's called Osgood Schlager on both my knees.
Mm-hmm.
And as a kid when I was growing up, it started when I was, about 11 or 12. I had a growth spurt and these things appeared. I got along pretty well throughout my life, but now I'm 57, and these things are bothering me every day. I mean, I'm in pain every day, and I don't know what to do about it. I don't really like taking pain medication because of the long-term effects on the liver and whatnot. So I wonder if there's some exercises that I can do that would extend the tendon or something to that effect that would mitigate this problem.
Okay, and Doc, just before we begin, we'd like to explain what these diseases are.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Osgood Schlager is a process that takes place usually as a young kid, like you mentioned there, Joe. Usually kids who are very active, playing a lot of soccer in particular.
Yeah.
And what happens is you get a development of increased bone right at the insertion where the patellar tendon attaches to the lower leg bone. So that if you grab your kneecap and then you just slide your hand a little bit beyond your kneecap, you'll feel a soft piece of tissue there, and that's your patellar tendon. And that attaches to the bone just distally, and that's the tibia that attaches to. So a lot of stress through that tendon as a young person causes that attachment to the bone to sort of overgrow, so to speak. It can lead to, like I just mentioned with the last caller, about chronic tendinopathy or issues with the tendon that develops. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you hit the nail on the head when you said, is there any therapy exercises? That's the first spot I would have you stop with, is to work with maybe a physical therapist doing some strengthening, I believe you should strengthen the whole lower body and not just focus on one little issue there. So you would want to start and building up, you know, the big muscles and the big stabilizing muscles of your body, which are your core and your gluteal muscles, and then progress down into the lower extremity muscles. And with just gentle strengthening exercises to start, therapists have very particular ways to strengthen these areas that it can actually really benefit the tendon. So that's where I would start, working with a therapist and some flexibility stuff. And then from there, depending on how you respond, there are treatment options that we can consider, non-surgical treatment options. And that's what my focus mm-hmm. is going to be on with all my patients. Consulting an orthopedic surgeon is not unreasonable, but I'm assuming you would want to do this non-surgically. And that's where we would we would try some different treatment options. Again, we're here to talk about the regenerative medicine, but those are great treatment options for people like this with chronic mm-hmm. issues that are just not responding. But again, Joe, the first thing I would do is find a good therapist in your area, go in there, tell them the diagnosis, where your pain is, have them start strengthening those areas and working on your flexibility. And in about 6 to 8 weeks, pick your head up out of the sand and see how you feel. If you're significantly better, then you're all set. If not, then, you know, give us a call and come on in.
Well, he's down in Mount Kisco, New York. That's a long way.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing about our office, we have offices that span pretty much southern to northern Dutchess County. We're in Ulster.
Okay.
So, you know, you just call the main number.
I'm up in Ulster all the time.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have an office up in Kingston. We're down in East Fishkill. So whatever's convenient for you, we'd set you up and give you an evaluation and take it from there.
Great. Okay.
Great. How do I have your contacts?
Go ahead. How does he get in touch?
Oh, yeah, just call the best thing to do is to call the main number at the practice. That's 845-454-0120. You can visit our website. That's ortho.adc.com. And either of those will get you. The website will give you a lot of information about contacts and what we do, and the phone number will get you an appointment relatively
quickly. Do that number one more time.
That's 845-454-0120.
Thanks for the call. Okay, that was Joe. And now we're going to go to Phyllis on line number four. Okay. All right, Phyllis, you're on.
Hi, Phyllis.
Hello, Dr. Dentico. I've been diagnosed based on an MRI with a complete tear in the supraspinatus tendon. And I've seen two orthopedic surgeons, and they both say that it requires surgery. And in the meantime, I've had shots of cortisone. And I'm just wondering whether your regenerative, you know, therapy would work, or is there any hope of that helping?
I think the first thing, honestly, I have to tell you, Phyllis, I have to see the MRI and the extent of the tear. When you say full thickness can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. If the tendon is completely torn and retracted, then... you know, that really usually indicates a surgical repair. If it's a full thickness tear, but there's still fibers that are contiguous there, these injections are reasonable to give a try to repair that tear.
And would my insurance cover that? Is that sort of a standard accepted practice, or is it something experimental?
They'll use all the correct terms there. It's still, because it's considered experimental, it is not a covered benefit. So unfortunately, these are out-of-pocket expenses for patients.
How expensive?
The PRP injection right now is $1,200 a shot.
Well, and how many
and
shots,
how many shots yeah. would you need then? Usually,
I'm right. way ahead of you, Phyllis.
At this point, you know, I usually will start with one. I start with one, and I don't even consider a second one until we're about 6 to 8 weeks down the road, and we're seeing some good healing. And if we haven't gotten exactly to the point that we need to be at, then, you know, we might try another PRP injection. We might try a prolotherapy injection. And these are things that we usually discuss in the office. And it usually will be dictated on how you're responding to the treatments that we're doing. And remember, Phyllis, if you're coming in and we're doing something like this, rehabilitation protocols are always going to be part and parcel of what I do, because I believe that moving the body and giving the body the appropriate stimulus is very helpful in regenerating appropriate tissue and getting you where you want to be functionally.
Okay, Phyllis, thank you. Okay, we'll now go to Mary on line number five. Mary, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm calling with a question from autoimmune diseases like MS or RA. Mm-hmm. Is that something you can treat in your offices?
MS, I treat the functional aspects. Remember, I'm a physiatrist. I'm not a neurologist. So I'm not treating the symptoms of MS, per se, with medications and and different drugs. But MS is, you know, we see a lot of that. When I was a resident, we used to see a lot of MS patients come into the acute rehab facility to help them deal with their neurological deficits, their visual deficits, help them deal with some bladder issues if they have developed anything like that. So along the rehab aspect, we see them, I talk to them about rehabilitation. We talk a little bit about the pain management that can be associated with MS. But as far as treating it at the orthopedic practice, I don't tend to treat a lot of neurological diseases. As far as RA goes, yes, we treat that. I treat that not from
what's RA, by the way, Doc?
I'm sorry. RA is rheumatoid arthritis. Again, okay. That's an autoimmune process where the body is really attacking the joint. And you're seeing, so rather than osteoarthritis, which is considered a wear and tear arthritis, meaning the joints and the tendons are wearing out just from, you know, use over the course of a lifetime. Whereas RA usually affects younger patients. You see really bad deformities in the joints. And that process actually needs to be treated with a rheumatologist to try to stop the progression of the autoimmune process. But then as far as, you know, if you're stable on RA medication and all your factors are reasonably controlled on the medication, then I'll treat RA patients as I would treat osteoarthritic patients, injections when they're needed, pain medicine or anti-inflammatory sort of as needed.
Mary, thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much. Okay. And now we'll go to Fran in Amsterdam. Fran, you're on. You're on,
Hi,
Fran.
Thank you for taking my call. I have been diagnosed with bone-on-bone in both knees, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to avoid knee replacement surgery, mm-hmm. and I'm wondering if your procedure would help me, and what is your success rate, if any, with it?
Well, bone-on-bone arthritis, that means you're pretty well off. Now, in your knee, it depends. Is the whole knee bone-on-bone arthritis? Is it one compartment of the knee? So that sometimes will sway me in one way or another to say we should try this or we shouldn't try this. But along that spectrum of PRP injections, that's platelet-rich plasma injections, we're also doing injections where we aspirate bone marrow right from the hip, just as if you were giving a bone marrow donation or you were being tested for mm-hmm. for cancer. We aspirate the bone marrow, and in that
aspirate
bone marrow,
meaning what?
Aspirate, take it out. Take it out. Yeah, take some bone marrow out of the hip, and then again using relatively sophisticated machinery to isolate those bone marrow cells and then inject those back into joints. And the literature for that is stronger for the arthritis, but we've had good success with the PRP injections. I'm sure you've had, or if you have not, a corticosteroid injection. And that could last you anywhere from a week to 6 months to 8 months. So they can have very effectiveness. But we see with the PRP injections that when we do them, we don't see that patient back for another year, maybe even longer. So they're getting longer benefits from them. And it's actually a healthier injection for a patient to get rather than repeated corticosteroids. But the other option for the knee, if you haven't had hyaluronic acid injection or a viscosupplementation injection, to give that a try also.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. All right, now we'll go to number 7, and we'll talk to Fred. Fred, you're on.
Hi, I'm 63, and I've had lumbar spinal stenosis pain for about 5 or 6 years. I've been to physical therapy. I do all the flexion stretching exercises mm-hmm. and core stuff and all that kind of thing.
Great.
Which helps a lot. But I was wondering if this... the therapy that you have is applicable to that kind of problem?
That's a good question, because when it comes to the spine seems to be a different ball game, different beast than the rest of the body. But as far as platelet injections for stenosis, right now the jury's out on that. I don't recall seeing many studies. The studies have been more on disc problems, where people have herniated disc or tears in discs, and the outcome there has seemed to be pretty good. But as far as for the stenosis, you know, it's a physical impingement. Now, if you know about the pathology of the stenosis, it's just that the bones are sort of growing in on that center canal of the spine, irritating your nerves. So that physical aspect of it, you know, that's difficult to treat with injections. Corticosteroids injections are used and can be very effective. And then surgical options, you know, although sometimes not ideal for somebody, can make a big difference long term for a patient.
Yeah, I've been using the NSAID, basically diclofenac, as needed. So I'll just keep stretching.
Keep stretching and keep doing your exercise. Try to use that anti-inflammatory sparingly but appropriately. And you always come on in, and it's nothing like coming into the office and getting an evaluation and us discussing these options.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your call. All right, that takes care of Fred. And now we'll go to Paul. All right, Paul, your turn.
Hi, Doc. I'm 55 years old. I have mild to moderate arthritis in my right hip, as well as I had a hemilaminectomy at L5-S1, a lot of lower back pain. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a physical therapist as well as a chiropractor, but I've also have a upcoming hip evaluation with an orthopedic guy that led me to believe I might need a hip replacement. I'm calling about this platelet therapy. Would I be a candidate for that?
Well, you know, mild to moderate osteoarthritis is something that I think is a good diagnosis. You know, you're not in the extreme end of the arthritis, so I think you can have a very, very good response. Again, with a history of back stuff and hip stuff, an evaluation's always important to make sure that we're shooting for the right area. You know, the back can refer to the hip a lot and cause a lot of, you know, misdiagnosis. So the first thing would be to get an evaluation. Going to see the hip guy is probably a good thing. You get the x-ray, he'll do an examination, and then he'll be able to confirm or refute whether it's definitely coming from your hip or not. And then from there, as far as platelet or prolotherapy or regenerative treatments, yes, as long as you're at, you know, in addition to just having the right pathology for it, you know, your response is going to be also dictated on how healthy a person are you overall. You know, are you a cigarette smoker? Are you taking a lot of anti-inflammatories? You know, what's your alcohol consumption? Right. Things like that. What's your body mass index? Are you very overweight? So these questions come into play when we decide whether or not we're going to pursue a certain treatment option.
But you said something that, Richard, that is very interesting, and that is you should go to see the hip guys and find out if it's definitely hip. Now, I am a little devil, but when you go to somebody whose specialty is there, aren't they somewhat prejudiced to tell you that you have what they do?
I think that, you know, we're still a medical profession, and you're going to see a person who's highly trained in musculoskeletal medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And if he feels that, and through his evaluation, meaning x-rays, history, and physical examination, I still have hope that he's going to give you a solid, firm diagnosis and give you all of your options objectively.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Yep. Let's go to Phil in Great Barrington. I think I noticed Phil. Okay, Phil, you're on.
Hi, Alan and Doctor. Yes, you know me.
Yep.
Talk to you. I'm calling. I've had a partial meniscectomy on both knees a couple of years apart.
Okay, stop right there. Stop right there, Phil. What's a meniscectomy, doctor?
That's when they take out some of they cut out some of the meniscus because there's a pathology causing pain. Meniscus are two pieces of cartilage that live in the knee and provide support and cushioning and biomechanical information to the knee.
Okay, Phil, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No problem. So on the first knee, relatively soon after the operation, I developed avascular necrosis, a little spot on the bottom of the femur. And the second knee also just was pretty sore for a long time. So I did try the prolotherapy on both knees.
Mm-hmm.
And the sore knee responded, like, remarkably well. Really was impressed with that.
Great.
But not so much the one with avascular necrosis. And I wondered if you thought there would be any value in trying the PRP on that. Right.
It's getting pretty complicated. Doc, can you tell us what the necrosis means?
I'm assuming what happens, avascular necrosis is when you have a damage to a blood vessel that's supplying a portion of that joint, that articulation. You see it a lot in the hip. You could see it anywhere that you have an articulation. And so the necrosis, to me, in my mind, what he's describing is that there's some loss of cartilage in the knee there, and it's a very focal spot, and that's going to be causing him pain.
Gotcha. Okay, go ahead, Phil.
So, yeah, I was just wondering if you thought that the PRP might be of value for that, rather than the prolotherapy, and really how you distinguish between using the two, I guess.
Okay, so I think that for your case, I don't think it's unreasonable to give that a try. Again, remember what we're doing. We're taking a biological substance, the platelets in your body. These are your first responders. These are the cells that show up to the scene of any injury, whether it's internal or external. And they provide the first, we all learn in high school that the platelet clots blood. But that's the first thing it does while it's initiating this healing cascade. So to take these platelets out of your body, to put them in, like I said before, a relatively avascular region, you're providing the body with a beacon of healing. And so, you know what? Along the lines of you had a good response to the prolo, you're a good healer. So I think it's for you, it might be reasonable. It would be the next step up on this continuum of regenerative medicine.
Great. Well, I appreciate advice.
Thanks, Phil. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Phil.
Okay, we're going to take a very short break. I mean, seconds, and then we'll be back with a whole bunch of people who want some answers. Okay.
Support comes from Vassar Brothers Medical Center, now specializing in Makoplasty partial knee surfacing as an option to total knee replacement for early to mid-stage osteoarthritis, healthquest.org/ortho. Ichiban Japanese and Chinese Restaurant, Central Avenue, Albany, Japanese, Chinese, and Sushi Bar. Dinner entrees served with soup, salad, and shrimp appetizer. Delivery expanding to Gilderland, 518-432-0358. Protex Gloves, helping to provide relief from chronic skin and hand conditions including peripheral neuropathy, scleroderma, Raynaud's, and eczema, UVA and UVB sun protection. ProtexGloves.com. Boyden and Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services and a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years. BoydenandPerrin.com. And from Adelphi University Hudson Valley Center, offering a Master of Social Work degree, field instruction and internships available. Adelphi.edu for more information.
And we are back. Dr. Richard Dendigo from Orthopedic Associates of Dutchess County and a specialist in regenerative medicine. Richard, if you will, we'll take some more calls. Okay.
Great.
Let's see. This new fangled machine we have tells me where to go next, and that is to David in Saugerties. David, you're on.
Hi, David.
Hi. How's it going?
Very good.
I have a friend who's had some chronic muscle pain in his forearms for there's just a number of years. I know it's been progressively bad in the last three. But it's been diagnosed as not being carpal tunnel, and he's tried a lot of different meds and physical therapy and everything, and they don't really know exactly what it is. And I was just wondering if you thought that this kind of unrelenting chronic pain could benefit from the PRP injections, and also I wanted to ask if there's any other regenerative medicines that you might think could also apply.
Okay, before we go any further, because there may be some people who are joining us late, Richard, PRP is
platelet-rich plasma, and that's an injection of a graft of platelets that's harvested and made from your own body.
Gotcha. In a centrifuge.
That's how it's created, yes.
That's how they make it.
We make that concentrate.
They take it out, and then they put it in there, and then it comes out. It's a little stronger. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So as far as your friend, again, the key is to have a diagnosis, I think, before I could say, you know, he would be a great candidate or he wouldn't be a candidate. So, you know, based on the description, it's hard to come up with a diagnosis. You can have a lot of issues for forearm pain. So, you know, again, seeing him in the office would probably be the best advice I can give you, and just to see if I have any options to treat him with. But based on the description, I couldn't give you, you know, a yes or no on that one. And as far as medications go, oral medications for regenerative treatments, you know, the goal of the treatment is to focus on that issue that's going on, as opposed to, you know, a total body regeneration. And there are good anti-aging physicians out there who are looking into this and trying to turn back the clock through either nutrition or hormone therapy or some other types of therapies. But that's really not what the focus is in right now, for me at least.
David, thank you very much. And we'll go now to Bern in Westfield. All right. Okay, all right, Bern, you're on.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call. I have a relative who has ALS, and we're wondering if there's any application of this toward ALS because there's so such discouraging news from other interventions.
Well, I think when we first started our conversation and Alan asked about regenerative medicine, what is that? That is not just in our field in orthopedics, but across the board. And in fact, at our national conference, I believe 2 or 3 years ago, we had a urologist in who was bioengineering bladders, you know, through scaffolding and through stem cell research. He was able to, you know, make human bladders and actually put them back into people. So along this line, I think that's where medicine is coming and will be going. We talk about diabetes, and there's experiments out there looking at using stem cells to regenerate the pancreas to help diabetics. So in ALS and spinal cord injury, and you know, that's where the future is, and hopefully we have somebody researching that right now and be able to make a big difference. But as far as in an outpatient practice, you know, from my perspective, no, unfortunately, ALS is not is really nothing that I'm going to be able to do to help them out, other than possible the rehab aspect of caring for a patient with ALS.
Good question, and thank you. All right, let's go to Dee Dee in Stone Ridge. Okay, Dee Dee, you're on.
Hi, Dee Dee.
Hey. So I was diagnosed with a partial tear of the central attachment of the plantar plate. So that's, I believe, a tear in the ligament of the second toe. And I'm very active. And right now, according to my podiatrist, I'm having it just taped together to the third toe. I guess until there's scarring takes place and heals it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if there's anything else I could do to promote healing there.
Okay. So
also, I can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I'm sorry.
Yep. The second part of the question is, I feel like there's definitely a connection between my ankles and this problem. I've had so many turns and sprains in my ankles, and I think that this is all connected, but when I asked my podiatrist about it, he said he just does feet. So I was wondering if you guys take into account feet and ankle, and if it would be beneficial for me to come in and see you for some extra input.
So, you know, as a physiatrist, that's our training. Our training, and I could remember, you know, when during my training, it was like somebody came with an ankle pain, always look at their knee, always look at their hip, always look at their back. So you want to look at a person as a total, as opposed to one particular body part, especially when you're trying to, you know, look at biomechanics and why, you know, certain things are aggravating you and not, and why did you develop this tear? Didi, what you called in about was plantar fasciitis. It sounds like you have plantar fasciitis, for people who don't know, is there's a, again, we talked about the Achilles tendon before. That's the ankle that runs around the back of the foot. That comes around the bottom of the foot and has contiguous fibers with the plantar fascia. This is a taut piece of soft tissue that lines the bottom of the foot. And where it tacks down to the bone on the heel is where people can get some chronic inflammation and chronic tearing in those areas, leading to pain. So, and if we talked about PRP injections and regenerative medicine, and when you look at the literature, it's actually these in the plantar fascia is one of the things that was studied and show that there was a benefit to getting a PRP injection into that area. So if you've been using the splinting and you've been doing what the podiatrist has been advising you to do and you're still not turning that corner, then yes, I think you should come in. We can ultrasound it. I use a lot of ultrasound in my practice. It allows me to look into the body in real time and actually look for pathology right in the office there with no MRI. And we could just look and see what's going on. And, you know, if you still have a lot of pain there, then yes, this is what these injections are for.
So, Richard, give us that phone number one more time in your practice.
That's 845-454-0120.
Okay, Dee Dee, thank you very much for your call. Appreciate it. All right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut her off. Let's go to Nancy in Latham. All right. Nancy in Latham, you're on. Nancy. I think Nancy deserted us. All right. Okay. So that means we'll now go to Judy in Gilderland. Judy in Gilderland, you're on.
Hello, this is a fascinating show. Thank you very much.
I'm interested, doctor, specifically for myself on broken ribs. What could your practice be able to assist me with the healing of broken ribs? Thank you.
Ooh. Classically, broken ribs heal on their own. We usually will wrap them a little bit, but there's really no surgical intervention or injections that we do. Usually they tend to heal pretty readily right on their own.
Well, great to know. Thank you very much, doctor.
Thank you very much. All right. And now we will go to Chris on line number 7. Okay, Chris, you're on.
Hi. Thank you, Dr. Tentico, for taking my phone call. I have, over the years, continually re-injured a left ankle and sprained it. And this past winter, I slipped on the ice and broke my tibia at the malleus, the posterior tibia, and rolled my ankle and sprained the lateral part. And so now the bone's healed, and I'm going through approximately 18 months rehabilitation through physical therapy. Mm-hmm. And the physician says I may never fully heal, and I will always probably have some degree of inflammation. And I'm thinking the inflammation is probably coming from the chronic injury there. So can you please explain in layman terms, like physiology 101 terms, the process of the injection? Is it like guided, x-ray guided into a tendon ligament? Does this heal the tendon per se and or the intrinsic muscles that are in and around the various bones down there? Can you help me out?
Well, sure. First, you know, this is what these treatments are for chronic issues, chronic pain, chronic tendon issues, chronic arthritis. So along those lines, yes, this is what we're looking for. In fact, I had a patient, a woman who had also fractured her ankle, and she had a screw and a plate in the ankle, and this was many, many years later. And she always had this chronic tendon issue in one of the tendons around the ankle. And she came in, and like you said, we used imaging, ultrasound imaging. I could find the area of the tendon that was most pathologic, and I could really guide treatment directly to that area. And she is doing fantastic since she's had her injection. So, yeah, I mean, this is what we're trying to do, is just get people out of these chronic issues that they find themselves in, either from injury or from repetitive strain.
Okay, Chris. Go ahead.
Does it strengthen the muscles?
The muscles, you strengthen the muscles. The tendons and the ligaments get strengthened with the injections.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, sorry about that. I'm just trying to move it along. Let's go to Mary in Red Hook. Okay, Mary, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think you actually answered this partially, but I had a partial tear in my gluteal medius muscle about 9 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Did PT, got better, but I have intermittent symptoms with use. So my questions are twofold. Is there a time frame in which the PRP is useful or not useful? And secondarily, because I was looking around, couldn't find anybody locally that was doing this, if you are indeed doing it now, are you having problems with insurance covering this?
Oh, unfortunately, there really is no insurance coverage for this.
Okay.
That's right off the bat. I tell it to all my patients. We talk about that as, you know, that's one of the roadblocks in this treatment. But as far as efficacy goes, in my mind, there's no question. Like I said earlier, I've sent my family members for this. I have my father sitting here with me, and he's always a candidate for something. So I wouldn't. So along those lines, you know, that's a big roadblock there. As far as timing after the injury, if you're 9 months out and you've rehabbed this, if you've rehabbed this and you're still having some intermittent issues there, you know, the gluteus medius is my favorite muscle in the body. And
where is it?
It's on the lateral aspect of the hip.
Okay, so it's your behind? No?
Yeah, sort of. Right over. And on the outside, yeah.
As opposed to medius, as opposed to maximus.
Maximus is the behind,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, we don't know these. I don't know these. Yeah, okay, so answering up, it holds some promise for her, yes?
Oh, no doubt about it. This is, yeah, that's where I think it works the best. I've done it in a couple of track coaches, a couple of track athletes, and they respond really well. And again, I'm able to guide the therapy because we have the ultrasound right in the office with us.
So Mary is right?
One time. Oh, I'm sorry.
Mary's in the right area because that's where you live, right?
Oh, yeah, Mary. Just come right down 9, and I'll see you right in the office there.
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you very much.
All right, Mary. I'll
thanks,
see you soon.
Mary. Yeah, bye. Okay, now we're going to go to Holly. We've been leaving Holly all alone. Holly, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
I recently had some hip pain and went to my doctor. And it turns out that it might be what they call trochanteric bursitis. And he gave me an injection of cortisone and Novocaine.
Mm-hmm.
And are you there?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. It was so quiet.
It's because he's listening.
That helped a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I have been taking Aleve every morning, which helps a lot until mm-hmm. it wears off.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not sleeping any longer on my left side because I was told that that was not advisable and it could help too. So anyway, I would like your opinion as to what I might be able to do to make this go away because it really, really hurts.
Well, the first question I have for you is, have you done any physical therapy? Have you seen any therapists? Well, that sometimes that could be all you need. The previous caller mentioned her gluteus medius muscle and a partial tear. After a couple months, usually bursitis, that'll peter out and you end up with more, like we were talking before, about tendon issues around the hip. It could be if you strengthen that gluteus medius muscle appropriately and get some good flexibility through that a lot of those symptoms will resolve. Now, your physician, rightfully so, put some corticosteroid back there in the hopes of reducing inflammation. And I'll tell you, 99 times out of 100, it usually knocks it right out indefinitely. But
that's what he said.
Depending on, your gait pattern and the relative strength of the muscles in that area, it can become chronic. So the first thing before I talk to you about doing any injections, especially if you had a corticosteroid injection and you got limited relief from it, would be to start with some physical therapy. And the other caveat is, I do all of my injections under guidance, meaning that I'm watching the needle, I'm placing the medicine directly where I want to put it. So, if your doctor's not using guidance in the office, sometimes you can quote unquote miss the mark. So that could make a difference also. But for you,
Listen, what about a mattress? Could that make a difference?
You know what? People ask me this question a lot, and I'm very indifferent to this. There was actually a Cochrane study in which what they do is somebody searches these databases and finds every study that was ever done on a certain topic, such as mattresses and back pain. And actually, there was one, and I looked through it once, and there was really no correlation. So as far as that goes, I never tell somebody. I say, if your mattress is really not supportive and you want to get a new mattress, go for it. But I'm not advising you go buy a new mattress.
Holly, we're out of time. Thank you so much. I'm going to take another call here from Debbie. All right, Debbie, to put it mildly, we're almost done with the program, so you got to go quick. Go ahead.
Hi, I have a back knee pain. I can't bend my knee. I am in active physical therapy with no results. The back of the thigh muscle, I don't know, that's kind of inflamed, hard to sit. But what worries me is that I just can't get that knee bent.
And you got a lot of swelling in the back of the knee?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it could have like a Baker cyst back there. Again, this goes back to what...
Debbie, you're breaking up. Hold on one second. You're breaking up. Richard, you want to just finish with that answer?
So I would just say, the best thing to do is if you can't bend it and you still have a lot of pain and dysfunction, you got to come in. You got to come see one of my orthopedic partners. Come and see me and we'll figure out what's going on back there first.
I understand. I just want to tell you this. I did have Doppler tests. There is no Baker cyst.
Okay. So then, an evaluation again. Is it referred pain from the back? Is it knee pain? Could it be a meniscal issue in the knee? These are things that, you know, the best thing to do is to find an orthopedist or a physiatrist, have them examine you and decide, you know, what's the next step in diagnosing the problem.
Could it be just muscle? I do have fibromyalgia bad.
Again, fibromyalgia is a generalized process. You're having focal pain in your knee with reduced range of motion. It sounds more like it's from something going on inside the knee itself.
And okay. You think it's inside the knee when you can't bend backwards, right?
Yeah, usually tough bending could be a meniscal injury.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Okay, so we're just about out of time. I wanted to get a couple of things from you, Richard.
Go ahead.
The name of the practice is?
Orthopedic Associates of Dutchess County.
Orthopedic Associates of Dutchess County. Your phone number would be?
Our phone number is 845-454-0120.
We'll do it again.
845-454-0120.
And the insurance does not cover these injections.
The insurance is not covering regenerative medicine injections.
And how long does it usually take before they come around once they discover something works?
I'm not sure. I wouldn't know how to answer that question. It usually involves an FDA process also. So, you know, I'm sure there's people out there working on it. I couldn't tell you exactly when it's going to come into more mainstream medicine.
Well, Richard, it's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank
you so much. We had a lot of people on the phone, Angela and Debbie and Lisa. We had to leave them there, but next time maybe. I want to thank everyone who called in, apologize to the people I just named, and also like to thank Dr. Richard Danico for joining us today. Underwriting support for Medical Monday comes from Whitney's Farm Market and Country Gardens, Cheshire, featuring We Plan, You Plant, garden design service with on-site selection of nursery stock, plus tree, shrub, and perennial garden installation, whitneysfarm.com. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Zach number one, Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Joe Makowitz. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a little theme and a news update.